A parable about what I think of as spiritual yoga, about being flexible. Let us pray and then we will examine it. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of every heart in this room be pleasing in your sight. Our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So since Christmas time, it's been a while, since Christmas time, we have been in the Gospel of Matthew, exclusively, examining the life and ministry of Jesus in greater detail than if we had been bouncing around the Bible from place to place. And throughout Lent, what we are doing is honing in on some of Jesus' lessons that he gives in the form of parables, in the form of these short stories. Specifically, what we're doing is ruminating on the parables about life as God calls us to live it, which Matthew refers to as the kingdom of heaven. So far, we've looked at how the kingdom of heaven is like a great tree with its roots in the dirt, and not just meaning it begins small and then erupts into this giant thing that's outgrown its humble origins. No matter how gargantuan it becomes, the world as God wills remains down in the dirt. God's ideal for us will never, ever be about grandeur and ornamentation. It will never be about pomp and circumstance. It will never become a matter of religiosity and ritual. It is not a ladder to be used to climb upward toward greater wealth or power. God's kingdom will always have this low, earthy substance about it. It will always be made up of small things like kindness, mercy, gentleness, forgiveness, and generosity. Generosity to the point of feeling unfair, and that's what Haley and the Logos students showed us last week with a different parable, that the kingdom of heaven is a place where God's grace and mercy are so abundant and offered to everyone so freely that it seems to just smack of injustice, and it pushes back against our definitions of even what's fair and right. And I love the way that the Midhais acted out that story, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, which is the lesson Jesus gives to illustrate this point. You have a landowner who hires a bunch of different workers throughout the course of a day, and no matter how long the different workers have been out in the field, whether they started at the crack of dawn, strolled in at 10:30, like that one co-worker of yours, or they began just before happy hour, whatever. When it's time for everyone to punch out, everyone is each given the same amount of money. And the workers who have been in the field all day long question the landowner about the injustice of this. I mean, those other guys have been working less. They should be paid less. And we've been working in the field more. We should be paid more, obviously. And the landowner says in response, well, that's my decision. That's my decision. What is your problem with it anyway? Because I'm generous? To which Haley admitted in her sermon, why, yes, Lord, yes, I am. Yeah. We get jealous in situations like that. In my mind, I'm thinking the same thing, that it's a message from Jesus that it's a little bit upsetting. That's not how I would run things, Christ. In fact, if I were king of the world, it'd be a much different place than the kingdom Jesus describes. I do all kinds of things differently than Jesus. I am not king of the world, though. And all God's people say, amen. Thanks be to God. Whatever. I mean, there's so many ways to thank God for that. And the parables we've looked at lately, a whole host of other teachings, and really his whole life. Jesus is always challenging our ways of thinking. our preconceptions. For both Matthew's original first century CE Jewish context, and for those of us reading these words in Oak Park, Illinois today, Jesus and his kingdom are constantly upsetting and unsettling. He's rather gifted at this. And he assures us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and that he offers freedom and rest and love. He says this is offered to all who would accept it. All we need to do is follow him. And in one sense, I believe that this is absolutely true, and that it's also really that easy. With all my heart, I believe that Christ's path is the best path, the most loving path, the path that guides us back to our original purpose. But I've also personally found this to be true, that at the same time, following him is still really hard. Perhaps on his path we do find more love, more truth, greater purpose. Perhaps there is more freedom. But all the same, following Jesus is still an enormous amount of work. Because among other reasons, the freedom he offers is freedom from so many of the things to which I have become accustomed, that I'm attached to, that I like. Many of which I've invested a great deal of myself. My resources, my energy, my hopes and dreams, my notions of how the world works, my brilliant ideas for how it ought to work. But Jesus doesn't come and live amongst us, giving up all of his power and glory, risking all that he risks and enduring all that he endures, because we've had the right idea this whole time. It's because we haven't. Humankind is a little off. Especially those of us who have ascended to the top of systems that are profoundly out of step with God's will. People like the leaders to whom Jesus addresses today's lesson. But it's true for so many of us, too, that we've put stock in the wrong things. We've valued stuff that in the long run doesn't matter. We've organized whole societies around false notions, and our personal lives around inaccuracies and priorities that amount to dust. And even those of us that say we are about God's business have a habit of living in a manner incongruous with what we say we believe. Even preachers. It's definitely true for me. Not Haley, she's awesome. She's a very good disciple. So among other takeaways from this short parable, such as actions speak louder than words, is this one that is worth our time. That in order to see the kingdom of heaven, we need to be willing to get unsettled. We need to brace ourselves and maybe even change our minds. We have to embrace the fact that we are fallible, that we still have things to learn and room to grow. And that may very well be some of the hardest work of all. It can be back-breaking work, changing our mind. And it can be nothing short of offensive when we hear someone else point out the need for it, even if it is Jesus. Especially 2,000 years ago, when you aren't quite sure of who this guy is and you have so much to lose, which is the case for the chief priests and the elders in the great Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Hence, this is where we are in the story. In the last week of Jesus' life on earth, he gives this parable and a couple of others. And right afterward, the good news of Christ takes a very dark turn. And this chapter ends in saying, for the first time in the whole gospel, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. And they wanted to arrest him and do something about it. But not yet, for they feared the crowds. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.